Okay, everybody, workday is over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
Before the show started, I informed Giglio that I was going to participate in the SAS Championship Media Tournament. The SAS Championship will be at Prestonwood, like it always is. Typically, ahead of these golf tournaments, they invite the media out to talk to the players that are participating, and they also get to play the course. Typically, I avoid these events, but I feel like in order to promote show camaraderie, I would participate this year with Giglio. This did not go the way that I thought it was going to go.
I thought
Giglio would receive this news from me and be, oh, cool. Instead, I saw your soul leave your body.
Actually, I said, well, I guess this means we're not winning the SAS Media Championship.
And
this year.
And I said, you know, nobody cares about that, right?
Yes, you've taught me that. Yes.
Nobody cares about whether you win this tournament or not. It's just out there for fun and frivolity. And you're like legitimately disappointed by this news because, like, oh, damn. Well, and I said, well, I'll provide a handicap. And I'm like, that's not how this format works. I'm like, I mean,
provide entertainment?
I'll make a putt or two. Do you want me to field another team?
Are we defending or are we reigning?
We're reigning.
Do you want me to have another foursome? Do you want your own?
No. You play with us.
Last year we only had three, so technically there is a spot.
No, okay, fine. I'm just asking.
It's fine. We'll make it work. I mean, this is just a continuation, though. Is it a month? Like, what has the streak been now? Like, the Jeter thing, then Bruce Springsteen, and now you're like, let me just figure out a way to make Giglio's day even worse.
Oh! I did not realize this was going to make the day worse.
I got something that could get him.
So you're saying you don't want to golf?
Like you
don't want to golf with me at all?
Tomorrow, if you just bring in a tailgate special to tempt me,
if that happens, then
I'll know. Then I'll know.
This is a perfect opportunity to incorporate Ovius into hallway golf after the show.
No.
That would be camaraderie.
He could train.
Going out there to golf. But I don't know. I don't know what's more disappointing. You finding out that I'm going to participate in this media tournament or some teams in the NFL after week one where there's already disappointment as we're getting ready to start week two tonight. And I get it's funny. We spend so much time when we talk about the NFL, you know, overreacting to one result. And I understand why. There's only so many games, you know? And if you start off the year 0-2, 0-3, there's also statistical data that backs up you're not going to have a very good season, all right? That quarter poll does matter. But I feel like after 1 week, I can already tell who's going to be bad. I mean, maybe
you can.
Maybe it just confirms some of the things that I had preconceived notions of going into the season. Like the Jacksonville Jaguars. I knew that things weren't going to go well for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this week's only made matters worse because of the way things are playing out with Urban Meyer. Like not only is like the locker room not really feeling Urban Meyer's Urban Meyer-ness, but now you got the Southern Cal job hanging out there. And whether he actually is in the running for that job is immaterial. It's more, after we get past the jokes, the fact that Urban Meyer was the first thing we thought about when the Southern Cal job came up, and making matters worse, yesterday when he says no chance to the Southern Cal job, what was everybody's reaction?
Nick sounds a lot like Nick Saban when he was denying that he was going to Alabama.
So here is Urban
Different
Meyer.
Different circumstance, but still.
Here's Urban Meyer yesterday when he was asked about the rumors about Southern Cal.
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it so that you can put it to bed.
No chance. I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
Have we figured out who asked that question?
I don't know who asked the question.
It's embarrassing.
Okay, thanks. And Urban Meyer,
unfortunately for you, as if like some sort of medical calamity became of his family. Unfortunately for you, you've been, after even 1 week of being an awful NFL coach, your name is connected to one of the five best jobs in college football. So unfortunate for you.
Urban, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers for you. So it's gotten to the point where nobody believed Urban Meyer yesterday. So leave it to the information guys to explain the coach's side of the story. This brings us to Adam Schefter, ESPN. You want to talk about people who have been on heaters this week? Like you are pointing out to me that I keep...
Yeah. You got the needle this week. That's fine.
I've been out there with the needle. You know who's actually worse than me? Schefter. Because listen to Schefter. So earlier in the week, Schefter's trying to carry water for the Chicago Bears, and he did such a terrible job that he invoked Tom Brady as though the New England Patriots were grooming Tom Brady in the same way that Aaron Rodgers was groomed and Patrick Mahomes. No, that's not how it worked with Tom Brady. So here's Schefter not even believing himself talking about Urban Meyer.
It's usually amazing because we're usually talking head coaching openings around December. Mm-hmm. And we're in September now and we're already there. And there's all this speculation about USC being interested in the Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer and whether or not he would have any interest in going and taking the USC job. Well, today Urban Meyer came out and did his best to squash any speculation that existed. He said he's not looking to go to USC. He's happy in Jacksonville. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. Now, we've heard Urban Meyer say similar things before and do the opposite, which is why people are having some fun with this. But the fact of the matter is he could not have been any more clear today than he was that he's not taking that job and he's not leaving Jacksonville, at least not right now.
That's my favorite part. He said this before. We've seen it play out, blah, 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 blah. But he couldn't be more clear. I love the NFL, man. It's so good when it comes to this kind of stuff. So I think we can establish the Jacksonville's things aren't so hot after one week.
Jags should panic. Yes,
that's easy.
But they should have been in panic mode ever since he tried to hire the racist strength coach from Iowa.
Are there some not so obvious NFL teams after week one that you would legitimately go, not so great?
See, now, I would go the other way, because every year we see in the NFL, there's a playoff team or two from like 2020 who's going to miss in 2021. And we had three playoff teams lose in week one. Washington, who plays the Giants tonight, would be one of them. And yes, they had a losing record last year, but they made the playoffs. They mm-hmm. won their division. And actually, it was Taylor Heinicke at the end of the year who actually gave them a little bit of a spark after Alex Smith had gotten re-injured. So yeah. They play tonight. They host the Giants, and Washington lost to the Chargers in the opener. Here's a stat for you where maybe you want to panic, maybe you don't. Daniel Jones, the beleaguered Giants quarterback, is 4-0 in his career against Washington. Do you know what his record is against the rest of the NFL?
No, I don't.
4-19.
That's not good, is it?
No.
That's not good.
Now, there's also a stat where Daniel Jones has never won a primetime game. He's either 0-4 or 0-5 in primetime.
I knew that stat, actually.
So there's two stats out there, whichever one you want.
Yeah.
But it does feel like the Giants do play fairly well against Washington.
Yeah.
But Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick, starts pretty much every year, and he has one or two good games, and he gets to, like, the quarter pole, and then all of a sudden you're like, is he really our quarterback? And then he gets replaced, and mm-hmm. he's always has these warm and fuzzies. I don't think this is as dire of a situation for Washington losing their starting quarterback than, say, for another franchise that would potentially be in really dire straits. But it's going to be interesting to me, at least, to see how Ron Rivera handles. These Thursday night games are awful, but they're usually won by the best coach, the better coach, and the better quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I feel fairly confident that Ron Rivera is the better coach.
Well, the thing is, everybody's looking at Washington and wondering, all right, well, what about Cam Newton?
Right.
But it's abundantly clear that they're not going to bring Cam Newton in for a variety of reasons.
Which kind of feels like a mistake to me just because Taylor has been on the same roster as Cam. Ron yeah. knows how to handle Cam.
Yeah.
And even if you want to give Heinicke the starting job now, why would it hurt to bring Cam in and let him practice and get – I mean, get into what you want to get into.
Well, there's a couple of reasons why, but we'll start with John Keim of ESPN, who covers the Washington football team. And he was on, I believe, Get Up this morning explaining the situation between Ron Rivera's new team and his old quarterback, Cam Newton.
Nobody knows Cam Newton like Washington's coaching staff and front office. But for now, at least, he is not in their plans. Washington could have signed Newton each of the last two offseasons and declined to do so. On Monday, Coach Ron Rivera said they were sticking with the quarterbacks they have for now, and that, quote, I'm as confident as I could be. As long as Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen stay healthy and Ryan Fitzpatrick returns later this season, there won't be any reunion in Washington with Newton and Ron Rivera. But if Allen and Heinicke get hurt and Fitzpatrick isn't ready and the team remains in the playoff hunt, perhaps that door opens just a little.
Maybe. If all of their quarterbacks get diphtheria.
Right.
Like, what?
It's Oregon Trail all of a sudden.
What is going on with that? You know, if Kyle, and again, Kyle Allen, give me a break with some of this stuff.
Well, that's the other thing, too. They'd rather ride with Kyle Allen than Cam Newton.
No one believes that.
I think there are two things. One thing, Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports told us earlier in the week as it related to this topic.
Yes.
If there is a coaching staff and group of team doctors that knows Cam Newton better than anybody, it would be the ones who came with Ron Rivera to Washington, and maybe they know more about Cam than and Cam might not want to deal with those team doctors too.
And I was going to say, and quite frankly, they didn't always do right by him.
No.
So I can understand where Cam's hesitancy would be, but not really Washington's, because I just think if there were something to happen, you would close that learning curve gap, whatever it is, for Cam, because it's probably going to be similar terminology to whatever they used with the Panthers.
The other factor is the fact that Cam Newton is not vaccinated.
Correct.
And Ron Rivera has been on record multiple times talking about the lack of vaccinations in the NFL, and Ron Rivera is immunocompromised. That factors in to how these things all play out. Some people might not want to hear that, but that's the reality of the situation.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news. Well, boys, Tuesday of this week was an all Redbone bump day.
Okay, so the reason why it became an all Redbone come and get your love bump day is because you started the show with a bootleg version of Redbone's come and get your love.
Thank you, Spotify. Yes, you are correct. So, Hayes Permar, shout out, texted us that, you know, we should do an acapella of the news to that song, because Come and Get Your Love is very doable karaoke acapella-wise.
Yeah, he suggested, what did you say, Jillian? It was a kids' bop version of Come and Get Your Love?
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
So we should do a kids' bop version of the song for acapella of the news. I think I said, like, Come and Get Your Capri Sun, but Hayes came through with Come and Get Your Lunch.
So in honor of that, and in honor of Gilio's detox, you know, no fast food, no alcoholic beverages, only eating lots of fruit right now to get ready for our beer mile in a couple of weeks.
Nice apple slices
there. Yeah, way to go. He inspired me yesterday with that. This is for you, Gilio. I believe in you. I voted no. I will be donating. I will be donating, though.
Hey, what's the matter with some bread? Some wine don't cross the line. Oh, hey, hey. Nothing's the matter with the mic's way all day. Come on and Apple Pay. Hey, hey. What's the matter with a ham and a cheese and a fruit if you please? Come and get your lunch.
There it is. Proud of you. I still think Jersey Mike's counts. I you're okay with that, but I'm still proud of you for powering through, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Well, I love that everyone we saw last night voted no.
Yeah, because we know you.
Have you come across anyone who's voted yes? Because people did.
Yeah, come on.
There was not many.
There's not a lot.
One person today was like, hey, man, I voted yes. And I'm like, thank you, Barney. I appreciate it.
Let's answer some Hey Joe questions. Joe cracked the
door. All right, boys. That's what you call a segue. Because first up in Hey Joe is from Steve on Twitter. Hey, Joe, Should everyone tweet pictures when they visit Bojangles or other fast food places to Jillio to add to difficulty?
So the reason why this is happening, the reason why Jillio is on this no alcohol, no fast food detox is because on September 30th, we're going to be at Bond Brothers in Cary doing the Beer Mile, North Carolina Beer Mile. If you're not familiar with the Beer Mile, it's one beer per lap. So chug a beer, run a lap, chug a beer, run a lap, etc., right? Do a mile. I did it once by myself, did it in 10 minutes. Last year, Alec Campbell and I did it, or 2 years ago before the pandemic. We did the two-man relay, and we crushed it. I think we did it like in 6 minutes or so, just over 6 minutes. So for this year's version, it's going to be the four-person relay. It's going to be me, it's going to be Jillio, it's going to be Rand, it's going to be Brownlow. Joe, who has run a marathon or two.
It was a long time ago.
It's not like you're incapable of running. And I know that you've got back issues. I get all that stuff. You've decided, no, for the next 16 days, I am not going to drink and I'm not going to eat fast food for just one lap.
Joe, I don't want to embarrass myself.
All right, fine.
I'm still trying to get over some of these videos that we produce. And I'm just like, Who is that person? Like, can we burn all footage from the heart of the pandemic, please?
You're talking to... See, there's one thing you're going to have to learn about this business.
No burning?
Nothing's burned, for starters, number one. Number two, you have to embrace the bomb, so to speak. The
you're
embarrassment.
Right. You're right.
Like, do you think I love being on camera with this bald dome getting shinier and shinier with every video we do? No, not necessarily. But you know what? It is what it is. We're old now.
We can get some spray paint for that.
Quick aside. We were in San Antonio for a Final Four.
Yeah.
Adam Gold and I were in San Antonio for a Final Four. Every Final Four city hosts a media party that Wednesday, typically, of the Final Four. You show up to the area, this little venue that they're doing this at, and this poor guy had sprinkled the stuff on top of his head.
Ah, the sprinkle.
So, shout out to Adam's wife, Aileen, who actually, as a gag, got me some of that stuff.
The sprinkle?
I've never tried it.
I feel like the spray paint's a safer bet.
Well, the problem is, it's Texas.
It's really hot.
It's really freaking hot. Even in April.
So he pulled a Rudy Giuliani.
And the sun's just beating down on this dude's back of this dude's head, and it started to drip. I felt so bad for the guy. Just, you know, hey man, just embrace it. Just embrace it. I have. It is what it is. The part that I don't get, and I tried to get you last night, because we were out last night.
I wasn't thinking of this logic, and I think you probably have me on this, though.
I tried to get you at least to have a beer.
Right.
There's nothing, I don't get the no alcohol part. The whole point here is to chug a beer.
I know.
I feel like if you go beer free for the next 16 days, that first beer, you're going to burp like hell, dude. And I'm not, and it's already a burpee event. So I feel like you should be drinking beer, not avoiding beer, for the beer mile.
This is a fly in my plan. I'm not going to lie to you.
You can have a beer.
No.
A man's got to live by a code.
A man has to live by a code.
What I'm saying is, if.
But here's.
It's kind of like my father-in-law. My father-in-law wondered why he was gaining weight. It's like, yeah, because every time I'd come over, you're not drinking a Coors Light or a Bud Light. You're drinking six of them.
Sure.
So, like, there's no reason why you can't have a beer.
But this would be my retort. I've been drinking since I was 16, yeah. Right? Like, I think getting off, it won't be hard to get back on that horse is what I'm getting at.
All right.
Even if it's only 18 days, because last Wednesday was the last time I had a beverage. So.
All right.
I got to be down to my fighting weight, man. Like, I feel alive.
I also feel like you could have Jersey Mike's.
I put that to the vote. Actually, Jersey Mike's won that vote, but I'm still...
It's because if you have
I told the people, we feel like the cold sub is the loophole.
The cold sub is the loophole. If you get the provolone in turkey, I don't see what the problem is. It's like 98% fat-free. If you do it Mike's way, you're having the oil and the vinegar. That's not bad for you.
No. But here's the
deal.
Get
on a whole wheat.
But here's the deal. I want to reward myself the day of the race, right?
Well, that's when you get Bojangles.
Oh.
No, because I feel like...
That's when you go to the Wegman and go nuts.
JM's is my spot.
All right, Jersey Mike's is your spot.
It's got the app, but like you said, the Apple Pay.
All right.
Fair enough. You know me, every once in a while, I leave a wallet here or there.
Oh, you mean like gold?
Not always prepared. Yeah, gold. What are you doing,
Adam, buddy? If you're listening, if you're looking for your wallet, it's here at the station. Next up.
I've already charged lots of Jersey Mike's to go on it.
I was going to say,
future dates, just, future pickup, September 30th.
I actually just went to Discogs and ordered a couple of records I've been eyeing, but they're a little out of my price range. So thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Gold. Next up from Eric on Twitter. Hey, Joe, with the Champions League kicking off, who is your favorite to win this year? And why did you have to Google what's a Champions League before answering?
My answer to the Champions League question is always the same. It's Richmond FC. Next up.
Oh.
It's never it can't ever be the guys who wanted to Americanize the Champions League. So we have to pick a team that's not one of those, right? Like the Glazer family
ones, yeah.
And the Red Sox people who own a team and whoever else over there. So it would just be any of the teams who were like, hey, that idea of your Super League is a bad idea. Like, karma works that way, right? Like, mm-hmm. One of those teams can't win this thing, right?
I would hope not.
All right, next up is from Lee on Twitter. Hey, Joe, who'd make a better president? And he tagged all three of us.
That would be you, Rand.
I agree.
Rand would make a good president?
Rand's the only one who could get two through the election scandal free.
True.
So.
Agreed.
Just saying.
Thank you?
Yeah, you've lived a good, wholesome life,
yes.
Rand.
Thank you.
You're also the only one who could potentially appeal to both sides of the aisle.
Yeah. Not us. Everybody loves you, Rand.
That's fair.
Everybody loves you.
Thank you. I'll take that.
Next up.
So it is an election, actually, not who would be the actual best president. I would be the actual best president, but you would win the election.
Why? You would come up with all sorts of rules for engagement and then lose.
Man's got to live by a
right,
code.
Right. Like, so in order to do this one particular policy, you have to do X, Y, Z. You have, like, all the rules. I was actually talking about this with Brian Lord of the Mixed Morning Show earlier today. He's like, man, what's up with Jillio and all the rules, man? Like, he just can't play a game. I go, dude, that's how he is. So I feel like that would ultimately undermine your presidency. You'd be too wonky. It's like, oh, well, you know, I got to do X, Y, Z. You got to have these rules. Like, nah, you would not be the best president.
Gonna have to have a talk with B-Lord.
Yeah. I might hire you as, like, a cabinet member, though, or something.
Oh, thanks, Rand.
I'm not quite sure you'd get anything done. You'd be too busy playing hallway golf in the White House.
Could you imagine?
That would be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Next up from Carrie on Twitter. Hey, Joe, if the ACC network could do the equivalent of Monday Night Football with the Mannings, they have to get the Holt brothers, right?
I would like that. Sign
yeah, I think the Holt brothers would be really good in that situation.
Another option, maybe? That's Carrie also asks, is there another option?
The other options, I guess, would be... Oh, boy. I'm trying to think. The other options would be... probably some old former coaches that are a little bit audacious. I don't know.
Paul Johnson and someone
put,
else.
Put Paul Johnson
and with anybody.
Put Paul Johnson
and
Larry
like
Fedora.
Anyone.
No, he likes Larry Fedora.
Oh, he does?
Make that like the buddy cop movie of the summer.
I think I'd prefer Paul Johnson with David Cutcliffe.
Oh, that'd be spicy. That would be spicy.
A little zing.
T.O.B.
in there.
And Fedora.
Yeah. Well, actually, the one thing...
Tom had less of a problem with Fedora than Butch, of course.
One thing I wish the ACC network would do... is put extremely online ACC people on a show. Like, if you've watched the SEC Network, they've got a show called Thinking Out Loud. And that includes Spencer...
Does it have Ed Sheeran?
No.
Oh.
It does have Spencer Hall, Every Day Should Be Saturday.
Okay.
In the shutdown full cast, right? It's him and, I think, Richard Johnson. And they do, like, it's extremely online. Like, they've got all sorts of, like, bizarro, gonzo takes on SEC football. And it's like it speaks to the heart of college football fandom. Like, let's get weird with it. And I feel like the ACC network could stand to get a little weird with it by putting extremely online internet people onto a show. But what do I know? I'm not running a network. Next up.
Next up from Matt on Twitter. Hey, Joe, what would be the key elements in your Saturday uniform release video?
All right. So a little bit of context on this one. Duke football released a video ahead of their game against Northwestern where they do their uniform of the game reveal.
The reveal, the big reveal.
All schools do this now, right? And theirs, I'm pretty sure, was a shot-for-shot remake of one that App State did last year or the year before. It's like it literally is a shot-for-shot remake. And in this uniform reveal, it's like, here's our drip for week 3, literally. And I guess it's somewhere on the Eno. and a football player emerges. Are you seeing? You seeing it?
Yeah.
It's the same damn video.
Oh, no.
It's the same freaking video.
There are no new ideas, Joe.
I agree. You know my stance on this.
Yes.
The audacity of copying well. Okay. I'm a believer in this. There's no new ideas. It's how you apply those worn out ideas into something new. Regardless, they copied it straight shot. And this, I think we've come up with an inspiration for this. But yeah, in this Duke video, the dude's emerging from the Eno. I don't know why a football player is emerging from the river.
Fully
padded.
Uniform. Yeah.
Right?
Helmet.
At some point, there's a guy holding a snake.
What?
Yeah, there's a guy holding a snake.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, dangerous. Yeah. And there's a trident.
I saw the trident.
They're holding the trident.
I see the trident.
So I thought, all right, how could we do this type of like, all right, here's our radio drip for the week, or here's our drip for the weekend. I think I got it.
Okay.
I think I got it.
I'm ready.
I think, Jilly, I'm going to need you in golf attire.
Not a problem.
All right. And you're going to like, we'll go to my house. We'll go to the creek. We'll have you like stomp in the creek and make a splash. And then there you are with like a putter. In your golf stuff.
Would you like me to bring the ball retriever?
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Scoop it out of the creek if you want to.
Slow-mo.
Yeah,
scooping the ball out of the creek.
For me, I don't know if I'm like slow-mo coming out of the creek because I'm going to go for a run. Or do I utilize the last weekend of the pool and emerge? Mm.
I need you like fully clothed.
Oh, Hawaiian shirt, floppy hat.
In your I have a barbecue this afternoon outfit. Sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way.
It's fine.
Cookout.
It's whatever. So, yeah, I can emerge for that one. Rand, how are you going to – you got to do something here.
Which Beard Gang shirt would you like me to wear?
No, oh, yeah. I want Rand in some flippies and some
– rainbows.
The things on your arm, the floaties.
Okay.
Little flippies and floaties.
Little
maybe some
goggles. Yeah, maybe a little snorkel action.
And I want you in a sprinkler.
Ooh.
Or a slip and slide. Do you have a slip and slide?
I had a slip and slide.
Ah!
But those are easy enough to find.
Yeah, we can write that off, right?
Sure.
Okay.
All right, I think we got it. I think we're gonna knock this out.
Question though.
Weekend drip.
Who's holding the snake out of our crew?
Not me.
Not me.
Oh, great.
I think actually no. I have one of those plastic snakes that they give you at the dentist if your kid behaved.
What dentist are you going to?
Sorry, are you going to the Zebra Cobra's dentist?
No.
What?
Shout out to Dr. Dave. Over on Six Forks, man. So
Dodgeball was a great movie.
Come on. So when your kids were younger and you took them to the dentist, the pediatric dentist, they did not give you like, all right. So Dr. Dave has like the greatest trinkets to give the kids. I'm giving Dr. Dave like free advertisement. He's done a great job with the kids. Anyway,
think of the kids, Joe.
So. They go, kids go, get the checkup, whatever. And they go to the prize area. And it's got like the ice cream cone that launches, like the little foam ball on top of an ice cream cone, and you hit a button.
I don't know why you're looking at Rand as if, but
because Rand
then,
probably
but then
still,
I was thinking to myself, he probably still does.
Rand probably
go to the pediatric dentist.
Yeah, you still do.
At 34.
Listen,
lollipop.
They tell you when you get older, you can stay with us if you want. And I'm like, well, I'm comfortable with you, so
sure.
It's fine.
He's got the sticker. He's got a Dora sticker.
I'm also the cool kid when I walk in.
Yeah, like my dentist, Dr. Wesley Smith, he does not give me a prize anymore. The only thing he just tells me is, I'll see you in 3 months. I know you're not going to floss. I'm like, you're right. I'm not. Peace out. Anyway.
I'm working on my flossing, Joe.
Flossing's a scam, dude. It's a scam.
Uh-oh.
Flossing is a scam. Read up on it.
All right.
It's a scam. Regardless. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about? It's like a little ice cream cone foam thing. You
no,
hit the
I,
button,
I,
it pops off.
Honestly, I have no idea.
There's
what you're
the then there's the then there's the paddle ball. Like it's got the like the rubber band with the paddle and
the
bouncy ball.
Ice cream
ball.
Cone where you try
That's
to get
fun.
The ball back in.
Well, there's that too.
Yep. Okay.
There's that one too. And then there's also the little plastic snake that you hold it on one end and it will like do its thing.
That's a fancy.
And there's like, oh yeah. Maybe you need to switch over to Dr. Dave.
I don't know.
Oh, and he's got video games.
What? You sure that those snakes aren't for adults? Joe?
I will look it up on the internet. I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. I'll show it to you during the break.
You sure?
Yeah, but Dr. Dave's got he's got PlayStations hooked up So while you wait, you could just game?
I would just go hang out.
Right, you just go hang out. Not to make fun of losing a wallet or missing a wallet. I know that when that happens, I freak the hell out. I usually do the, typically I just do the, all right, keys, phone, wallet, keys, phone, wallet. You know, I keep my front right pocket with the wallet, phone's in the back pocket, keys in the left pocket.
I'm the worst. My wife made me get that tile.
Oh, to track it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I put it in the wrong, I put like the buzzer in the wrong spot, so on the wrong keychain, so like I never really have the buzzer.
Yeah,
but I think there's like a failsafe with the phone that if you hit it, it'll it'll buzz.
Gotcha. I know Apple's come out with a version of Tile. I was thinking about putting on Rand just in case we lose them from time to time.
Good call.
Yeah,
it's weird. The sensation of not having a wallet in your pocket, it's like being naked. I have a hard time.
Really?
Yeah, I have a really hard time with that. Like I can tell something's off.
That's my problem. Is I hate carrying my wallet around.
Why?
I can't stand having. I don't like my phone in my pockets. I don't like my wallet.
I recently had to get a new wallet, right? Because I had the Mighty wallet.
Yes.
Which is basically it's a paper wallet, and I had one with Star Wars stuff on it, and it molded to my thigh essentially.
You didn't want the back of the phone gizmo?
No, because if I lose my phone, then I lose everything. I don't want that. I want those things separate. If I lose my phone, I lose my phone. I'm good on that. If I lose my wallet...
That sounds like a person who's never lost their phone before.
I've never lost my phone before.
Yeah.
So, I've broken a phone.
I promise you, you're not good when you lose the phone.
Well, you know
James lost... James lost, got stolen, whatever, day of high school.
That got stolen.
And he came home, and I'm like, and my wife was like, oh, yeah, we're getting him another phone. I'm like,
well, that's
happening. Sure.
My older son was gifted AirPods. He lost them, and we warned him, dude, you don't want to take AirPods to school. I'll be fine. No, you don't want to do that. I'll be fine. 1 week, lasted a week. He learned his lesson. Lauren Brownlow, WRELSportsFan.com. I know she's lost her wallet every so often. She joins us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Brownlow, what up?
Yeah, hey, yes, I have done that. I haven't lost my phone either, but I have broken it or had it not work. And I agree with Jillio. That's not a no biggie for me either, because it usually takes some time to get a replacement. And in the meantime, it's like you can't even leave your house now without it. You're lost.
It costs a bunch of money too.
Well, yes, getting a new phone is going to cost a lot of money. I get that. But what I'm getting at is if I leave my phone at home by accident, like I'm not sweating it.
Do you carry around your social security card?
No.
Okay.
I do carry on my vax card now. It doesn't fit in a wallet.
Equally as valuable.
Yes. Yes. That thing doesn't fit in a wallet. I had to fold that thing, and I got a big wallet, but it is what it is. Lauren, speaking of things that are lost, is the kicking situation in Carolina a lost cause?
I mean, probably not. They could probably find somebody that can at least be serviceable, I think. I guess.
Maybe. Like, I mean, they're kind of treating it like fantasy football now, aren't they?
I don't really understand what they were doing with Santoso, to be honest. Like, I guess that they just wanted, I mean, what were they looking for? Like, they traded for him, and I know it was conditional, so I think they ended up getting the pick back.
They use him in two games for that pick to hold.
And so, like, I guess I get it, but then what was the point? Why not bring in somebody else that, if you're worried about losing the pick, then why not just bring in somebody else that you don't have to use a pick for? Like, there's got to be somebody on waiver somewhere that you could try out. I just don't get it. I don't know what they're doing right now.
So the Saints are the opponent this Sunday. 1 o'clock is the game time. And we do know that Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, loves to torment the Carolina Panthers, their division rivals. And I feel like... while Sam Darnold, I thought, was okay on Sunday, I also have to temper that, understanding they were just playing a bad Jets team, and there was a little bit of a revenge factor. This is a really good New Orleans Saints defense, and the surprising lack of offensive line consistency, I'm worried about if you're Sam Darnold.
I hear you. I share all those concerns, but because the Panthers continue to make little to no sense, I tend to think actually that because we look at like their narrow win against the Jets and we look at what the Saints did last week, that they're going to end up, I don't know, I don't think I'm comfortable saying winning because that doesn't make sense, but I think that it will end up being a close game because it's not supposed to be, because that's what the Panthers do.
I'm with Lauren on that one. I think they'll fight, and a lot of people are on the Saints after the way that they dominated the Packers last week. I mean, everybody. And are we really sure Jameis Winston's ready to have consecutive good games? Has he ever in his career?
Yeah. That's my thing, too. Like, are we sure that he's through turning the football over, like that the LASIK helped so much that he's not going to throw picks anymore? I'm not sure about that. So we'll see.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com, hanging out with us here on the OG on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. A toast to Sam Darnold for getting his first win as a Panthers quarterback. That is brought to you by Bud Light. Transitioning to college football, where North Carolina and Virginia are at Keenan on Saturday. And we actually talked to Caroline Darney about this. She's now at USA Today. She's the managing editor for Bet for the Win. And she had tweeted out something that rubbed people the wrong way around here, talking about Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback for Virginia, having a better start to the season than Sam Darnold. Now, Sam Darnold wasn't great against Virginia Tech, but I would argue that Virginia Tech is better than anybody. What did I just say?
Darnold, then. You meant Howell.
Howell. Did I do that again? You can.
There's Sams. There's a lot of Sams.
Are you subconsciously projecting his NFL career
maybe
already?
But real quick, Jillio, you could just say that I said it wrong. You don't have to like mouth it to me.
I'm
terrible at like reading lips. Just say you meant Sam Howell, not Sam Darnold. It's all good.
Hey, man, we got 17 minutes to the ticket
giveaway. You're focused.
That's what he is focused
on. He's focused on. Oh, yeah. That's what he's focused on. Anyway, so Darnie's point was that the Virginia quarterback has been better than the Carolina quarterback. And I'm kind of like, I see what she's saying, but I'm also aware that the competition that Virginia has seen so far is different than the competition that North Carolina has seen based solely on the Virginia Tech game on the road at Lane Stadium.
Yes, agreed. And you know, you could even argue Georgia State is an upgrade over William & Mary. Yes. It might not be. They might not be.
Might not be, but I see your point.
Usually, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and Illinois looked terrible. I don't know if they actually are. At least it's a Power 5 opponent, though. So, you know, I'll give Virginia that.
Nebraska,
it's not like
in the opener.
Yeah, well, there you go. See? So, and Virginia made them look silly. I think, yeah, and he's played really, really well. Like, that's the thing. I mean, I was surprised. I opened up my email on Monday morning or Monday afternoon, and it's ACC Players of the Week, and as well as Sam Howell played. I'm like, oh, he's got to be quarterback. And it's Brennan Armstrong. And I'm like, huh. And then I look at his numbers, and I'm like, oh, 5 touchdowns. Well, okay. Like, so, yeah, he's played really, really well. The offense, they've been pretty pedestrian, you know, overall. I know Bryce Perkins did some good things. They're kind of limited.
Oh, no. It looks like we're losing Brownlow here. No, on the.
She's doing a uniform reveal. She's coming out of the water.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Got it. Lauren, are you there? Not. Looks like we lost Lauren. Lauren, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You were being, Opal was being a little wonky there.
You were emerging from a body of water
like
with
Duke.
Your full uniform on for this weekend.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That, no. What was that? I don't understand this.
It's
things.
What App State did
really
a couple
don't.
Years ago, actually. This is ripping it off. So we're going to rip it off, too. What happens if North Carolina loses?
They're out of the coastal conversation, at least for now. And yeah, they're in big trouble. I mean, it's not going to look very good. I think, like, all they have to do to maintain all the positive momentum they've built, right? Like, you know, for the past couple years, is just, like, they don't have to win 10 games this year to do that. But they need to win games like this one. And it's not going to be easy. Like, that's the thing. I mean, we've talked about it. Like, the first few games of the year, it was not all that forgiving for North Carolina. Not because it was the best opponents they're going to play necessarily, but because this is a team that I think is going to get better as the year goes on offensively, and they're not there yet. Like, they're just not there yet. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle Virginia, because I think Virginia has, I mean, objectively, if you want to tell me, too, that Virginia's looked way better through two games, 100%. And,
sure.
And I would even adjust for opponent there a little bit. I almost ranked Virginia this week. I know Mac was saying he thought Virginia should be rated higher is what he said. And I thought about it, but just because I don't know how good Illinois is and William & Mary is an FCS team. That's the only reason I didn't. And I don't like to punish teams too much, like a North Carolina that are playing good teams and a team I've currently ranked, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, they have looked really good. They have looked better through 2 weeks of the season so far, and this is trouble for North Carolina.
Lauren Brownlow, WRALSportsFan.com. The GIFs up yet, or those going up tomorrow?
Those will go up tomorrow.
All right. Look for the GIFs on WRALSportsFan.com, and look for an ACC panic room this weekend where I will not be in a hotel at a wedding for once to start the football season.
You're allowed to do that?
I'm actually allowed to spend a weekend at home. It's very awesome. All right, Lauren, we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Well, there has not been positive vibes for our next guest, Caroline Darney. She's the managing editor for Bet for the Win, USA Today. Caroline, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
So
long time no see.
It's been a while since we've chatted, and you look for the purposes of context for our listeners, you are a Virginia person.
Yeah.
Okay. And North Carolina's playing Virginia on Saturday, and you said something so bold and so brave, it may be true, that Brennan Armstrong, the quarterback for Virginia, if did you say this, that he's playing better than Sam Howell right now?
I think through the first two games, I think you could say that Brennan Armstrong has been probably the best quarterback in the ACC. I don't think it's that controversial, but I made a couple people mad, I think, online, which never happens.
Whoa.
No, you're a woman in sports media, and you made somebody mad online.
Get out.
No. And they didn't have a picture of themselves. They're not their real name. I mean, they were so upset.
There was a number in their handle.
No.
Yeah. I was shocked. I was like, I must have done something wrong here. This is so unusual.
Well, look, in fairness, Virginia is putting up big numbers offensively. What are they averaging? Over 500 yards of offense. They just got done crushing Illinois. It's not far-fetched to believe that Virginia's doing pretty well. So I guess the question is, what are they doing differently this season other than the health of Armstrong at quarterback?
Well, you got the health of Armstrong. You bring back the entire offensive line, and this offense actually has a bunch of weapons. Like, you look at Keaton Thompson, who is literally on the depth chart listed as football player. Like, they're just like, whatever we need him to do, he is a football player. And then you have Oklahoma State transfer Jelani Woods. I think he had 5 or 6 receptions, 122 yards, and a touchdown last week. The guy's, I'm not kidding you, all of 6'7", 250, big boy. And then you look at, there's depth in the running back position that they didn't necessarily have last year. And then the wide receivers, Dontavian Wicks has been fantastic. You've got Rashawn Henry. And there were questions out there because Lavelle Davis, who was like the big game guy last year, tore his ACL in the spring. So there was like, okay, who's going to be the receiver? Who's going to be the big game guy that's going to step up, get these big plays? And they've had a couple guys that have done well. And I will admit, I will say, like, look, if you're like, oh, yeah, okay, William & Mary in Illinois, not necessarily two teams that you'd be like, wow, those are tough, good thing. But there has been a lot to like from the offense so far.
Caroline Darney joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. And I think we're in these parts, Caroline, we're slightly dismissive of Virginia being North Carolina's rival, right?
But 100%, sure.
But it does feel like Bronco Mendenhall has really embraced this rivalry, and it really reminds me of Tom O'Brien in this sense. I feel like Virginia cares more about this game than North Carolina does. Do you agree?
I could see that. I think it's this weird, there's always been a weird dynamic between the two schools. I think because Virginia fans aren't going to say, like, we know, Virginia fans know that UVA is not UNC's biggest rival. There's no confusion there. There's no, like, you know, Maryland and Duke thing happening. Like, there's no, you know. But this has been a game. This is the South's oldest rivalry, right? That's how it's always.
Oh, yeah.
Portrayed to people, it's actually fact, it's the one that's been going on the longest, and depending on who you ask fan wise Like, there are guys who write for our set or wrote for Streaking the Lawn that would say, like, Carolina is the team they hate the most. So it's all about who you ask about when they became fans and how long they've been following the team, because there wasn't always this Virginia Tech rivalry thing because they weren't in the conference. So it is one that feels a little bit more natural. But this would be a big win for Virginia. This would be a big, you know, it's an upset on the road type thing. And you also have the fact that Virginia has a little bit of a streak going against UNC.
They do.
Which I don't know if that makes this more important to UNC fans this year.
But,
I don't know.
But this goes beyond Charlottesville. This is the thing that maybe I was slow to pick up on this. I've always understood the weird dynamics with Virginia, right? For the longest time, North Carolina could not go to Charlottesville with a win.
Like, 81 to 09.
It was like a big deal that Butch Davis went to Charlottesville and actually came out with a win. So there is an element there that I've always understood with Virginia. But what I picked up on lately is that all of Virginia seems to not like North Carolina football for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because of a recruiting perspective. Because, like, Virginia Tech fans love to stick it in the face of North Carolina.
Yes.
Love to, okay? And Virginia Tech's, even their social media will, like, stick it in
about
their face.
About the rain.
Oh, the rain. Oh, that's
the rain game.
From 2016 or whenever that was.
Yeah, they really like that one.
And I guess is it a recruiting thing? Is it, like, because at one point Dick Bedore almost had Frank Beamer on the hook to be the next coach at North Carolina? Because between Virginia and Virginia Tech, man, there's a lot of salt in the direction of UNC.
What I've noticed in the past few years, and I will say I didn't notice it as far back as, like, I don't know the story with Beamer maybe going to UNC, but I think there was a Dre Bly tweet a couple years ago that was like, we own Virginia in a recruiting sense.
Yeah.
And ever since then, his poor mentions when this week and last, and, you know, 2 weeks ago for the Tech game must have been awful, because it's just like constantly, if any of the Virginia schools beat UNC, it's been like tagged, you know, hey, Dre Bly, did you see this? Because there was this, like, we own the state, like, when it comes to recruiting. And so it's just become like this weird. It is. It's very salty, and I don't necessarily understand it. I kind of love it because it's just kind of like, it doesn't seem super hostile, which is more my speed. Like, I can get petty and salty without being, like, rude and mean. But I think this is actually, and I guess I'm definitely biased on this, but I think it's one of the best games of the weekend.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. And
it's gonna be so fun.
It's a challenge for North Carolina after losing to Virginia Tech to see where they are. And it's a challenge, too, for Virginia. One of my pet theories is after a team plays really well, it's hard to duplicate that. Even if you want to dismiss Illinois as the opponent, Virginia really put some stuff together, I thought. And we'll let you go on this, Carolyn. I'm curious, are you concerned at all with Bronco and the direction of the offense? I know as successful as Brennan Armstrong has been, it does feel like they've become like this super pass-heavy, old-school BYU team, rather as opposed to his version of BYU, which was defense and run the ball.
A little bit. I know that there are definitely folks that I would like to see more of. You know, they talked a lot preseason about the depth and the confidence that they have in the running backs and the running back group through the first two games. And William and Mary is tough to kind of discern, like, if that is how you're going to play the whole season. And I think they did much better with it against Illinois. But how much are they going to use this, you know, hard-nosed up the gut? And that is something that they do have to establish, and whether it's with Keaton, whether it's with, you know, Wayne Talpapa or Mike Collins or any of the guys like that, to help Brennan be able to have the time in the pocket to set up a good passing game. They have to have that good relationship. I think when it comes to, there's a lot of stuff that they can actually improve upon from last week, because if you watch the game, they actually left a lot of points on the table. There was a really nice interception by the Illinois defense that was on the 1 yard line that would have been probably another 7 points. There was a fumble at like the 25 on a positive, you know, a good drive. I think there was probably, they missed two field goals. So just right there, that's another like 20 points. So it is, I'm curious to see how they fare against Carolina's defense. Because these games the past 2 years, you know, we've had a 44-41 last year and 38-31 the year before. So I think this is one where you hammer the over, and it's just going to be a lot of points. I just think it's going to be exciting.
Caroline Darney, managing editor, Bet for the Win, USA Today, with North Carolina and Virginia playing on Saturday. Hey, congrats on a new job, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
So Kendra has been joining us once a week now.
Kendra and Digital.
Kendra and Digital. And Kendra gets a lot of direct messages.
She does. And on many different social media forums.
Yes. So she'll get a lot of direct messages, and a lot of them are cringy. I think that's probably the right way to put it, Kendra.
Yeah, definitely a lot of cringy.
So we've decided to play a game. Spot the fake DM. So Kendra is going to read three direct messages, two of which are real direct messages she has received. One of them is not, and we have to spot the lie. What do you have for us today, Kendra?
Okay, this first one. Here we go. So this says, "We really should have had a baby together. I need my kids to be D1 athletes, and I've decided that you're my seed."
No, Joe.
Wait, we have to give some context. I'm 5'11".
So real.
I'm 5'11", by the way.
Yeah, that one's so real.
We got to hear all of them.
I got to hear all of them, but I know that one's real. I know that one's real. All right. It's so ridiculous, it's real. All right.
I was going to say, are we going to guess at the end?
We'll guess at the end.
Okay, so that is DM number one.
That's definitely from Instagram.
That is from Instagram.
Okay.
All right.
That's actually my favorite part of the show, when I guess the medium.
Okay, next one. "I have a proposition. Let me fly you out and buy you an NBA finals ticket since I went ghost on you this summer."
Just randomly wanting to fly you out to the NBA finals.
Out of nowhere.
And did you ever interact with this person before?
I did.
Okay.
Did you ghost them or did they ghost you?
It's kind of like a mutual thing.
All right, fair enough.
Okay. Mutual ghosting.
And direct message number three.
Direct message number three. "I've got a flight to Toronto with your name on it as long as you're cool with quarantining together. Nothing like getting to know someone locked up for 2 weeks together."
Oh, jeez. Wow.
I think the first one's fake.
No.
No, there's no way.
There's no way the first one's fake. I think number three is fake. I think number three is fake. The reason why I believe in number one.
Yeah, let's hear it.
The reason why I believe. Can you read number one again?
"We really should have had a baby together. I need my kids to be D1 athletes, and I've decided you're my seed."
It's that last part.
It's so disrespectful.
And that's why. That's why.
I'm still voting. Three feels real to me.
One is so ridiculous, and the whole "I need you to be my seed," that is such a real, totally something. I think number three is fake.
All right. Which one is it, Kendra?
Three is fake. Number one is correct.
Oh, wow.
I did receive the "you're my seed" DM.
On IG?
Yep.
Was it from someone you knew?
Yes.
Wow.
They did play NC State. Sports,
wow.
So I don't want to reveal any names. They did indeed play NC State.
Did
basketball.
You have a relationship with this person?
No, I didn't.
And they were just
shot their shot.
All right. Or in this case, did not shoot their shot.
Or missed a free throw. I don't know. That's amazing. That is amazing. Although, good points on creativity, Kendra, for the third fake one.
You could sell out the second person, too.
Well, the third
person's a North Carolina basketball player, or former North Carolina basketball player.
Whoa. See, that's the thing.
The Joe's know way too much.
Wow. But the thing is, Jillio is ruining the game by trying to reveal too much. We have to have an air of mystery for these types of things. Come on.
Mystery,
well,
right?
Obvious, yeah. you literally said, like, missed a free throw, and now all State fans are going, "Who missed a free throw? Who missed a free throw?
I always have to say, like, send a quick prayer up that, like, nobody is listening to these DMs that, you know, it's them.
Yeah.
But the third was it was a little mix between a fake and real. So
you did get one to quarantine together, though.
Yeah.
That's what threw me off.
Okay.
But I should have guessed that Toronto was not one of your cities.
Mm-mm.
Got it.
Nope, not one of my cities.
All right, Kendra. Can't wait to see what DMs you get next week.
I'll be ready.
All right. Kendra and Digital.
Bye, guys. Have a good weekend.
Bye, you too.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Jillio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000.
Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m. and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.